Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Context is everything, and danger looms when we refuse to step back and look at the larger picture. There's a scene in the classic movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off, where the three students, Ferris, Sloan, and Cameron, visit the Art Institute of Chicago and admire the paintings that are kept there. They've skipped school for the day and taken several rather insightful activities as they consider their lives, present and future. At the art museum, Cameron examines the famous work by Georges-Pierre Seurat called A Sunday Afternoon on the Island of La Grande Jatée. It's the scene in which a number of Parisians are standing on the grassy banks of the River Seine. Some are holding umbrellas, others are leaning back on their elbows. A few children run and play in the grass. Almost everyone is bathed in shadow. And the most curious image is of a woman holding a leash attached to a monkey. Now, in the movie, as Cameron stares at the painting, the camera brings us closer and closer to the scene, alternating between Cameron's wide eyes and the details of the image. The figures of the painting, the people, the grass, the trees, the monkey, they all get lost as we move closer and closer in. What's left in our hyper-focused view is only dots of color and tiny brush strokes on the bumpy texture of the canvas. Building blocks of Seurat's neo-impressionism style. Put together, these dots and strokes and even the canvas texture create a work of art worthy of the place in the Art Institute's collection. But to appreciate it, one has to step back and not hyperfocus. One cannot, like Cameron, become fixated on one tiny section of the painting. Too often, this is exactly what we do with Jesus. Rather than stepping back and examining Jesus from a place where we can see how the brush strokes and variations in color blend to create a scene rich and nuanced, complicated and interwoven, even amusing and bizarre, we choose one spot, one word, one teaching, one metaphor, and begin to assume that these tiny dots represent the whole Jesus. And that becomes a problem when we encounter something like what Jesus has to say in today's gospel passage from Matthew. "I will acknowledge those who acknowledge me," Jesus says, "but not those who have turned their back on me." Wait, what happened to the Jesus who leaves the 99 sheep and goes to find one who wanders? "I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother." That doesn't sound like the Jesus who tells the story of a father waiting for his wayward son and running to welcome him with open arms. "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. No, not peace, but a sword." Isn't Jesus called the Prince of Peace? And didn't Jesus tell Peter that those who live by the sword will die by the sword? The trouble with stained glass windows and quotes that fit nicely on a poster to hang in your home or your office, or a memorable trait of Jesus, like how he gathers the children and bounces them on his knee, is that we hyper-focus on the parts of Jesus that we like and disregard the rest. We fail to consider the context and refuse to see the larger picture. There aren't many famous paintings or stained glass windows showing Jesus wielding a sword and driving daughters and mothers apart. Such imagery doesn't lend itself to growing churches and attracting new members. In Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Cameron cannot see beyond his own face. He's stuck in an abusive family, weighed down by having grown up mired in modern suburban wealth, and has never been asked to consider what blessings he might be able to share with the world. Cameron is stuck in his own painting, a dot or a brushstroke of color that does not understand its importance within the larger work of art. But these words of Jesus are important. They're important to our understanding of the one who comes to us as Savior, as giver of grace and peace, and as one who will speak our name in the depths of our own hell and damnation. In chapter 10 of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus has determined to send his disciples out on mission. If you caught our service last week, we heard about that mission. Jesus intends for them to proclaim the kingdom of heaven, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to raise the dead. Only he needs them to understand something very important before they go. You see, Jesus needs them to know that the world doesn't like it when you proclaim the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't appreciate when you heal the sick. It tends to like its demons exactly where they are, thank you very much. And as for raising the dead, well, you know the old saying about skeletons in closets. This chapter 10, in which Jesus gets ready to send his disciples out on mission, relates to us not so much because it tells us about Jesus' life. It's not so much because it tells us about Jesus' mission, but because it tells us about our life and our mission. In fact, these words are meant to be heard more by you and me than by the 12 disciples, because they relate to our lives, to our mission of the church, and what it means to proclaim that Jesus is Lord not just of the past, but of today and the world that we live in. It's one thing to say that Jesus loves you. It's another thing altogether to actually love another person as Jesus would love them, especially if that person is an immigrant or a dreamer or a so-called illegal alien. It's one thing to say that Jesus welcomes all people. It's another thing altogether to actually welcome every person exactly as they are, especially if that person is gay or transgender or doesn't use a gender pronoun that you are used to using. It's one thing to say that Jesus cares for the sick and the dying. It's another thing altogether to actually care for the sick and the dying ourselves in Jesus' name, especially if those people don't have insurance or can't pay their medical bills. And when we respond to Jesus' call to mission, and when we go out into the world and actually do this loving and welcoming and caring, you can bet that there will be swords that come between fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, neighbors and friends, and people who sit across the aisle from one another in church. Because Jesus doesn't just tell us that he's the good shepherd. Jesus doesn't just show us that he can heal the leper and share a meal with a prostitute. Jesus doesn't just say from the agony of the cross, "Father, forgive them." Jesus tells us to do these things too. To open not just our hearts, but our homes and our churches and our wallets and our economic systems and our national borders and our legal pathways for all who dream of what life can be in the grace of God. But it means that swords or animosity or ridicule or violence or blame or accusations will come between us and those who do not want the status quo disrupted. And Jesus tells us that this much is true also. Cameron couldn't see the entirety of Seurat's beautiful, if somewhat strange, painting of Parisians enjoying a Sunday afternoon at the riverside. Cameron couldn't take his mind off of his own troubles and fears to see more than the dots and the brushstrokes. Jesus asks us to see beyond the small platitudes of lip service to grace and love, and see the ways that we can paint a picture for this world that includes everyone. The grown-ups with their umbrellas, the children running and playing in the grass, even the odd lady walking a monkey. Because while we might find ourselves in certain spots on the painting, if we don't lose ourselves for the sake of the larger picture, we will surely not find the true life that God has painted for our world.